Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network and partners with Sports Drink, your water cooler for all things sports and non-sports, a fantastic podcast network in their own right. I am your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's Thursday. That means we're making picks. And joining me, as they do every week, my good friends, our pro picker himself, Daniel Alexander.
Hey, nice week on here. Nice week in real life. College basketball's back. Conference championship games. Let's keep it rolling, baby.
Speaking of keep it rolling, somebody's in the lead and wants to retain that lead with only 2 weeks to pick left. That would be the LGG OG himself, Chris Ross.
Yeah, hey, we all had a pretty decent week last week. Let's see if we can just finish it out strong.
Well, two of us finish it strong, and then one guy stumble and
fall on his face. Just face plant, right? Yeah. Bad guy falls in poop. Classic element of physical comedy. Now is the part where we all throw our heads back and laugh. Ready? Ready. Ha-ha. Okay. Sorry. It's been a long
we're off to a good
week
start.
In a few days. It's the holiday season, you know, which is both fun and festive and a little bit stressful. Trees up. Do you guys have the trees up already? You guys put up a tree?
Yeah, Christmas? Tree. My girlfriend did a beautiful tree, like ornaments, lights, the whole thing. It's looking great. We're ready. We're rocking over here.
Yeah, we did our tree and everything on Sunday, but lights have been on the house since before Halloween. We don't turn them on. Hey, I mean, a company does it. I don't do it. They come out, they do it early. We get a discount. Just turn them on when we want to.
There's something we need to as a sponsor is putting out Christmas lights. Real or fake, boys? Fake tree, real tree?
I'm allergic to real, so that's an easy decision for me.
Fake. Dude, my parents went fake 20 years ago. Just fake is so easy. Pop it up, boom, done. You're not wasting your Friday morning after Thanksgiving, tying it to your car and all that crap. Forget it.
I mean, part of me does really want to do that, like, 1 year, just go out, like, you know, where you go to the tree farm and, like, pick out your tree, get it cut down, haul it home. You know, the whole scene out of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, do that whole thing, you know, but I can't. So maybe that's why I want to, just because I can't.
You're not missing anything, dude.
No. Growing up, we had a real tree every year. But we went to, like, a tree farm, so it was already, like, pre-cut. They'd wrap it, we'd throw it in the car and go. We have a fake tree. Your comment of like, you just throw it up real quick. My tree is massive and I have to go through. It's like, it's four pieces. It's four pieces that I have to put together. That's how big it is. And so I have to go through, especially the bottom, and like undo every little branch and then open it up and spread out the branches. And it is not a quick throw up. Like, it would take me just as long to go get a real tree and bring it to my house as it does to set up my fake tree to get it decorated.
Yeah, I got to get out a ladder and a step ladder to fluff out the top and everything, because we have tall ceilings, so you can't use a little bitty tree. Just doesn't look very good. So you have to get
no
the
Christmas
tall
shrubs.
Tree.
Yeah, no shrubs. Yeah, no Charlie Brown tree. Big, full, real tree. Okay. Well, I know I'm feeling very festive. You guys are feeling very festive. We have a lot of news to talk about. Let's throw through some things real quick. College football playoff, last one before the final one. Obviously, that's out. TCU is at number 3. Ohio State's at number 5. TCU just blew out an Iowa State team. I'm sure TCU fans are having some horrible flashbacks all the way back to 2014. But you shouldn't. Take a breath. Calm down. Relax. We said it on the show Monday that we believed TCU should be a lock for the college football playoff, whether they win or lose. And we're hoping that was a narrative we were going to push on Twitter. And I haven't had to push it that much because that's become the national narrative. I listened to the post show on Cover 3, Tom Fornelli, Chip Patterson. That's what they're saying. I mean, it has become a consensus of TCU nationally. Everyone is saying the same thing. TCU, forget shows that aren't about college football, people who don't cover college football, stop even giving them attention. TCU went 12-0, has one of the, if not the best, then the second best, like, strength of record. TCU is a lock for the college football playoff. At this point, they are just playing for seeding on Saturday when they face Kansas State in Arlington. Now, look, if Kansas State comes out and beats them in the same way that TCU beat Iowa State last week, you might be a little bit worried as a TCU fan. Maybe. But I don't really see that happening, barring some major injury. And so TCU is a lock to me. They are going to go to Arlington, and they should, or to the playoff, and they should. three seed, four seed, whatever. They should be in. They have done enough this season, 12-0. Now you're going to replay Kansas State. There's only five teams who have zero or one losses. And no offense, they went 12-0. I don't want to see them bumped out for an Ohio State team who got to take a week off. They're not. They are a lock. They're going to be in the playoff. At this point, the question is just what's their seed and who are they going to play?
Yeah, no, I think as the season's gone on, this has become a much easier decision. TCU, technically, I agree. They could afford to lose this game, in my belief. I mean, Ohio State, also one less team, but TCU would have where they beat Kansas State already, right? So they've beat this team before. They played the conference title where Ohio State did not. So I think there's enough argument to get TCU. And now I say that knowing that this playoff committee loves to put Ohio State into the playoff ahead of other more deserving teams. You know, so it is what it is. That it's not, you know, win and you're in. That's great. Lose and it's a little bit dicey, but you're probably in.
I mean, TCU didn't lose at home by three touchdowns, so.
I'm going to jump in. I agree that things look good for TCU. A loss, I would be worried. I know the strength of schedule. I know the 12-0. I know they already beat K-State. The only reason I'd have any worry is just because, and I do not agree with this, but you're right, man. The committee just feels like Ohio State is in that back pocket. Was it 2 years ago? Ohio State made the playoff and they were like 5-0 and they didn't even play a conference championship. And it was almost this like, oh yeah, Ohio State automatically gets to go in.
It was COVID. Like,
what?
Yeah,
Penn State won the
Big 10 and did not go to the playoff, but Ohio State did.
It was just so weird. So like, all I'm saying is I'm just tapping the brakes a little. Man, I pray Big 12's in the playoff. I would love it. It'd be so great. Just, we've just seen some dumb stuff happen before when it's time to actually announce the playoff. That's all I'm saying. So, look, TCU goes out and wins. Moot point. Whatever. They're in. They're going to the playoffs. Great time. If they lose, which I have some incentive for them to lose, yeah, who knows?
Okay, let's touch on that real quick before we get to some other stuff, Daniel. Sure. I know preseason, we talk about win totals and conference championship odds and those kinds of things. You put some real money on Kansas State to win the Big 12 this offseason. Yep. So I'm curious, now that you're here in this spot, do you ought, if let's say you have like this, let's just take the names of the teams out, but like you've put money on a team to get to win the conference championship, they've made it to the conference championship game. Do you double down on that situation? Do you automatically also put money on the opposition in the game to win? Like, how do you handle this situation as a bettor?
So this is, for anyone who's listening, this is called a hedge, right? I'm in a position where if I would like to, I could hedge my Kansas State bet. I essentially have Kansas State to win this game versus TCU at 20-1. Before the season started, and we talked about it here in the pod, Baylor and Kansas State were the two teams that I felt like had some value to win the Big 12. And here we are, sure enough. I'm very fortunate that it worked out this way. Kansas State, my 20-1 ticket, is we're at the doorstep. We can cash this thing. For, relative to you know, my bankroll and how I work, it'll be a nice score. It's not going to be, you know, a huge deal. It'll be a nice win. But it will be an amount of money where I want to come away with something. So I am going to come back the other way about 20% on TCU, and I'm just going to money line them. I think they're like 135 right now. So I will get some money down on TCU to win back. Like, you know, like I said, so no matter what happens, I win a nice little chunk if TCU hits. And if K-State wins the whole thing, man, it'll be a nice big hit, and I'll be glad. And man, then it's just on to the next. You know, then you're just looking for the next spot with value that you can get down on. No time to really celebrate it. Maybe, you know, take the lady out or something, or go get an expensive bottle and go find the next bet.
If you make that bet, is that like, in the end, say Kansas State wins, you know, does that kind of sour that a little bit that you didn't make quite what you could have if you just rode with what you had?
For me, no. I like I said, hedging, there's a whole philosophical, you know, people who approach hedging. You know, some people would say, why in the world are you going to hedge Kansas State? You essentially have Kansas State 20-1 just to win this game. Why would you, you know, you're holding an amazing number. Why would you tarnish that? You're, you know, you're eating into your expected value. Well, I mean, you know, it's an amount of money where, you know, the difference is a big chunk. You know what I'm saying? You know, if K-State hits, it's like, man, that's more than a whole month of a good month if they hit. So to miss on that and not get back a little something, I just prefer it for my lifestyle. And, you know, I'm, you know, in a lot of ways for the fun stuff, the extra stuff, the lifestyle stuff, I'm hoping to hit these big hits. So if TCU goes and wins this thing on K-State, I just simply don't want to come away empty-handed. That's all it is. I won't be upset if TCU wins and I get a nice little bankroll boost for the week and K-State future lost. Oh, well, it's like, man, I've had so many close calls on big futures that, you know, whatever. It just happens in this space. So yeah, I don't mind it personally. There are people who would agree with you and say, I can't believe he's crushing that expected value off of his K-State bet. But
I think it makes sense. You just, yeah. Again, it's hedging your bets. I like it. Yeah. Okay. We got details on Lance Leipold's new contract at Kansas that came out on Tuesday. A few interesting notes. Obviously, from a financial standpoint, they are paying him. His contract will start at $5 million in 2023 and increase $100,000 every year. It'll peak at $5.6 in 2029. It's a decent amount of money. He'll be a top 30 nationally. Few key things in here of note. One of them is that if Leipold's contract at any point he is not paid amongst the coaches who are in the top half of the conference, if he's not one of the top half conference paid coaches, there will be a renegotiation, and he will get a bump to put him back within the top half of the Big 12's head coach payments. I'm wording that weird, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, really interesting in there.
It's called a rising tides clause. That's what he's got. A rising tides.
Very
clause.
Smart. Yeah. It's very smart on their deal. One of the things that apparently had held up what him signing this contract, along with, you know, the stuff going on with Wisconsin, is salary pool. His assistant coach salary pool increases from $3 million to $5 million, and then his staff, which is not the assistants or Leipold, have an additional $2.5 million. That's a big increase for them. And one of the things that was really holding up was how much he was going to have to spend on staff. Folks, college football staffs are looking more like NFL staffs. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's important. It's not just about the 11 coaches on the field. It's who's in your recruiting, who's handling recruiting, who are your analysts. Those pools are getting bigger and bigger, and for good reason. So that's a big part of it. There's incentives, you know, for making the Big 12 title game, being a top 25 team, things like that. Here's the one that's really interesting to me. Kansas has to prove that they are saying they're committed to football and the facilities at the University of Kansas. Well, now they got to put their money where their mouth is. He can terminate the contract for $0 if Kansas hasn't meaningfully started renovating the Anderson Family Football Complex or the stadium by a certain time. By December 2023, the renovations must have made significant, serious have begun. If Anderson Football Complex, if stadium renovations don't meaningfully begin by December 23, Lance could terminate the contract for $0. If the Anderson Family Football Complex renovations don't start by July 1st, 2023, Lance could terminate the contract for $0. So Kansas says they're going to make all these changes and renovations and continue to work to build Kansas's facilities. They have to do so by July of next year, start making significant moves in those renovations, or he could just say, no thanks, and he can walk away, and he owes them $0. He will take the money he's been paid, and he can leave. That's wild. I've never seen anything like that put into a contract. Now, look, I don't read a lot of college football coach contracts, but that one's big. It's very interesting, and it is putting Kansas's feet to the fire, saying, you tell me you're going to make these renovations, you tell me you're going to do the things to help Kansas compete in college football and do the things necessary with our facilities to try and compete with the other teams that we're facing off. You got to do it or I'm gone. And I think it's great, and I love it. last thing, bowl situation. Obviously, by next Sunday, we should have a pretty good idea of where everybody's going. I feel pretty comfortable looking at projections and seeing what people are saying with where we think teams will be at this point. Obviously, TCU, I think, to the college football playoff, win or lose. Kansas State is going to the Sugar Bowl, win or lose. Because if they win the Big 12, they go to the Sugar Bowl because they're not going to the playoff. If they lose, TCU is for sure going to the college football playoff. And as the second place team, Kansas State's going to the Sugar Bowl. Now, I know Texas fans have been trying to angle for the Sugar Bowl over Kansas State. It's not happening. You guys are being silly. Just go watch basketball. Your team is good. Texas is going to the Alamo. They're the number three seed. They're going to go. The Alamo is going to love having Texas. I am seeing a lot of Texas Tech going to the Cheez-It Bowl, which is essentially like the third place bowl after the Sugar and the Alamo. It's the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando. I've seen a lot of Texas Tech to the Cheez-It Bowl. I've seen the Cheez-It Bowl kind of hint at Texas Tech on Twitter. It feels like Texas Tech, with their 7-win season and finishing fourth in the conference, has bumped their way up to what would essentially be the fourth place bowl with TCU in the college football playoff. They're going to be not only the fourth place team in the Big 12, they're going to be in that fourth place bowl in the Cheez-It in Orlando. Pretty much consensus of Baylor going to what is the Armed Forces Bowl, which is the, if the Big 12 has enough teams that have to fill one last extra bowl spot, it rotates between that bowl, the Armed Forces Bowl, and First Responder Bowl. Armed Forces Bowl is played in Fort Worth, sounding like that's probably where they are going. The question mark is left with three teams and three bowls. Those three teams being Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Kansas. Those three bowls being the Liberty Bowl, the Texas Bowl, and the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Now, here's what we have seen plenty of people report. We talked about this on Monday. Kansas wants to play Missouri in the Liberty Bowl. It's a Big 12 SEC matchup. The Liberty Bowl wants to have Kansas versus Missouri. And from what we understand, it sounds like Missouri does too. It's up to the SEC if they will put Missouri in that bowl slot or not. If the SEC doesn't let Missouri go to the Liberty Bowl, which would be stupid, but who knows, whatever, it's the SEC, they'll do whatever they want. I don't think Kansas goes there. I think Kansas jumps their way up into the Liberty Bowl if it is Kansas-Missouri, because that's what everybody would want. That would mean Oklahoma and Oklahoma State would either be in the Texas or the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. If Kansas is not going to Liberty Bowl because they can't play Missouri, which, please, college football gods, please let us have the border war in Memphis. That would be awesome in a bowl game. Please let us see that. 6-6 Kansas, 6-6 Missouri in Memphis. Great time. December 28th. Would love to see that. Please let that matchup happen. Obviously, we'll know more by Sunday, and we'll continue to hear more rumors slip up. Because, again, if TCU really is a lock for the college football playoff like we think, then these bowls can start actually putting teams in their correct order and not have to wait to find out who wins the Big 12 title like other situations were going on other conferences. If TCU is a lock like we think they are, bowls can start picking teams and start figuring out matchups now. Teams are always angling. So, obviously, we'll find out more on Sunday. I kind of like where some of this stuff is headed. I think it's really interesting. Love the opportunity for Texas Tech to go to the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando and play an ACC team. Sounding like it potentially could be Florida State. Very interesting matchup there. Texas versus a Pac-12 team. Maybe Utah. We get a repeat of, I think that was the Alamo Bowl a couple of years ago, if I recall. I think it was the year after they went to the Sugar Bowl. I like it. And obviously, Kansas State to the Sugar versus what sounds like it's probably going to end up being Alabama. Have fun, Wildcats. Have fun with that one. Everybody says they want Bama. Well, sounds like you're going to get them. I love monologuing and then just stopping and then no one says anything. That's fine. All right. You know, the best thing you could do to help your team out and prepare yourselves for bowl season, go and shop at Homefield Apparel and buy yourself the most comfortable t-shirt, sweater, or hoodie with an amazing vintage logo from your school. They've got every current and future Big 12 school. Incredible stuff. The sweaters and hoodies are incredibly comfortable. It's winter, folks. You want to be all cuddled up on the couch, having a drink, next to your significant other, watching your team either in basketball or in the bowl game. Go to homefieldapparel.com, pick out a sweater hoodie from your school, use the promo code NETWORK12 and get 15% off your first order. The holidays are here. Buy something for yourself. There's nothing wrong with buying yourself something for the holidays. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, sometimes the easiest thing to do is to buy yourself something and then say, hey, this is what you're getting me for Christmas. Then they don't have to try and figure out something for you. And you don't have to be, oh, thank you, when you open something up and didn't actually want it. So to make everybody happy, you can buy something for yourself for a relative and solve all issues, possible awkwardness on Christmas Day. You can buy them some incredibly comfortable vintage college sports apparel from Homefield Apparel, and they will be super happy and excited. And maybe their favorite team isn't the same as yours. They have more than 100 schools available. You're going to find it on there. And if you don't, just harass Homefield Apparel on Twitter, and eventually they will add their school. So, homefieldapparel.com. Promo code NETWORK12. Be rocking the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel this holiday season, basketball season, and soon to be baseball and softball season. Guess I'm already looking forward to it. OSU men's basketball. Not great so far. Not great. I'm tired of talking, but I guess I'll just keep talking. Let's recap last week. It was a good week for everyone. Chris and Daniel, you both went 6-4. I went 5-4-1. Chris, you hit on Texas -8.5 versus Baylor, hit on West Virginia +8.5 versus Oklahoma State, hit on Kansas State -11.5 versus Kansas, hit on Texas Tech +2 versus Oklahoma, hit on BYU -6.5 versus Stanford, and hit on Penn State -18.5 versus Michigan State that won by 19. That works. Missed on Cincinnati -2 versus Tulane. Missed on the under 47.5 in TCU Iowa State. Missed on UCF -19.5 versus USF. Missed on Houston -12. 6-4 on the week. 62-58-1 on the season. Just keep pushing that above 500 record. Keeping that lead strong. Nice week, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, last couple weeks have been good. Houston's back to letting me down. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, it was a good week. It was a fun week. And I look back, I look at the UCF, USF, you know, it's a bit of a rivalry. Probably should have expected that to be closer than I did. But other than that, nothing to complain about.
I saw somewhere like Phil Montgomery was 6-1, 7-1 in his final game of the season. I wish I had known that stat before we had picked that game. I might have gone ahead and played into that. That would have been smart. Daniel, 6-4 as well. Hit on Tulane +2 versus Cincinnati. Hit on West Virginia +8.5 versus Oklahoma State. Hit on Tulsa +12 versus Houston. Hit on the over 63.5 in Oklahoma, Texas Tech. That went way over. Hit on BYU -6.5 versus Stanford. And hit on the under 59 in Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Missed on the under 56 in Tulsa or in Texas Baylor. Missed on Kansas +12. Versus Kansas State, missed on Iowa State +10 versus TCU, and missed on UCF -19.5 versus USF. 6-4 on the week as well brings you to 55-63-6.
I was surprised Iowa State, you know, totally checked out. I was a little surprised by that. Egg Bowl, gosh, going under. That was a wild line. Any listeners who followed that game, that thing got bet down all week. And then game day, that over was just getting smashed where, you know, the game went off at like 63 or 63.5. And here we are on the pod. We were taking, I had under 58 or 59, the stale number, but those boys kept it under. Rainy night in Oxford. Just two coaches know each other. It was good. Cash that under. Good week. I'm going to catch Chris this week. Let's go.
I went 5-4-1. Hit on the over 56 in Texas Baylor. Hit on Tulane +2 versus Cincinnati. Hit on the under 64 in Oklahoma State, West Virginia. Hit on TCU -10 versus Iowa State. Hit on Texas Tech +2 versus Oklahoma. Had a push on over 67 at Houston, Tulsa. They scored 67 points exactly. Thanks a lot, guys. Missed on the under 62.5 in Kansas State. Kansas, I don't know what I was thinking. Missed on UCF -19.5 versus USF. Missed on under 57.5 in BYU, Stanford. And Coastal Carolina +13.5 versus JMU didn't even come close. So one quick thing. We all missed on UCF -19.5 versus USF. And I am an idiot because you guys picked first and set me up to take USF. Because what happens every time it's 2 versus 1, it's whoever picks the one, record shows, that's the side to be on. You guys set me up, and I just whiffed on taking. I was just like, there's no way that UCF would. And UCF had like a 31-7 lead. They were blowing them out and allow USF to come all the way back. UCF has to have an amazing game-winning touchdown, amazing catch. Still, USF almost is able to make a play. Like, UCF completely bungled that one. That was a UCF cover early in the third quarter until they just UCF'd it. Oh, goodness. 5-4-1 brings me to 55-63-3. Daniel, you and I are tied now. the exact same record. So we got some work to do. We are what is it, seven games basically behind Chris with
easy. That's easy.
What is it? 6 plus 14, 15, 6 and 15 is what? 21. 7 back, 21 picks to go. We got some work to do.
I'm not comfortable with 21 picks left.
Well,
a lot of opportunity to screw up.
Lock it in.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunities. And your opportunity to screw up will begin here in just a minute.
Welcome one, welcome all. And you are listening live to the one, the only Tortillas and Takes podcast.
From football to softball to track and field, tune in to get the best coverage in everything that is Texas Tech.
Not only that, but find out what unsuspecting star we get to interview and put on the hot seat.
Whether you like corn or flour, eating them or throwing them, this tortilla is for you. So listen to Tortillas and Takes.
And as always, stay wrecked, people.
I'm Sam, and I co-host the Scott and Holm podcast, the known universe's first Houston Cougar sports podcast. Every week, even during the offseason, my co-host Dustin and I come on and talk everything current as it relates to the Cougs, and every so often, we'll bring on UH luminaries like Carl Lewis, Kellen Sampson, and a number of other fantastic Cougar voices. And as proud members of the 10-12 network, we also find the time to talk about our future conference and future opponents in the Big 12 as well. If all of that sounds even a little bit interesting to you, we would love it if you subscribe to the Scott Holm podcast on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you put podcasts in your ears. That's podcast spelled PAWD cast, because the two of us hosting the show are nothing if not big dorks. So thank you, and go Cougs.
All right, you guys ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Me?
I'm ready. Are you? You haven't been ready all season.
Born. The smack talk has begun. You know, it's that's what happens when you have a comfortable lead. It's easy to just
I'm just... Yeah.
It feels pretty...
I should rein it in, Karma. Karma's going to fix that.
It feels pretty comfortable. Yeah. It feels pretty comfortable. It does. All right, let's get rolling here. We will do this kind of in chronological order. We'll be saving the Big 12 game for last because, duh. We will kick things off on Friday. Okay, here's what we're doing so everybody understands. We will be picking all five Power 5 conference championship games. We'll be picking the AAC conference championship game because UCF is in it. And then everyone gets to pick one other game that is being played this weekend. That is four other G5 conference championship games, plus the Akron Buffalo makeup game is also being played. You could pick that if you so decide to do so. Ooh, okay. I'll throw a monkey wrench in this because we won't be doing picks next week. The next time we meet will be in about 2 weeks to do bowl games. I see lines for Army Navy on December 10th. I see total, and I see a side. So if you so decide to do so, I will allow you to pick the Army Navy game for your other game. If you want. Does that work for everybody?
You've told me that's a guarantee under.
I mean, that total is 33 and a half. Vegas is finally catching on.
That's pretty low, yeah.
Vegas is like, okay, how low do we?
Was Iowa, right. Iowa State even that low?
I don't know that I've seen a game that low.
Was it 32? No, we had a 32 a week or two ago. Was it Minnesota, Iowa? Minnesota, Iowa, yeah. Those 32 2 weeks ago.
Was it? Okay. I believe you. We're going to start with the Pac-12 on Friday night. USC and Utah in a rematch. Utah won the first time. We'll see what happens here. Daniel, since you are in the lead and won last week, I'm making you go first. USC, a 3-point favorite, over-under at 67. Sorry, Chris is in the lead, and Chris won last week. Sorry, Daniel.
There we go.
Chris, you're up first. What do you want?
Yeah, I mean, I like what USC is doing lately. They're rolling pretty good. Man, they're looking good. Had a couple ranked opponents the last couple weeks. Escaped UCLA, beat Notre Dame, and mostly, I just have to ride with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams. I mean, they're just so good together. Don't you wish they were on your team? Don't you? Man, they're good. I'm going to take USC.
I see what you did there, and I will allow it. Daniel, what about you, sir?
because I want to take USC, because it just seems like the machine is rolling. Utah has had some beatdowns of some teams in the last few weeks. But I look at this game and my instant thought is, man, only 3 points, USC only 3 points. Feels like a spot where I'm going to go with Utah here. I mean, there's some game theory going on a little bit. Got to catch Chris, so I want to go opposite. But more importantly, I genuinely think the line looks too easy. That looks too easy at USC minus three. And I know myself well enough. When it's a game I'm not totally dialed into, I mean, this number's right to me on my, as far as my numbers go. I don't have any historicals on it. That tells me I'm wrong. Utah's going to cover this three somehow, some way. Give me Utah, red and white out in the desert Friday night.
What does your numbers have it at?
USC minus 3.2 on a neutral field. So if this was down in LA, I'd have this closer to like minus 4.5, maybe a minus 5. But I mean, this number's right.
Well, I mean, Utah was a 3.5 point favorite when they were at Utah. So it's interesting, and Utah won last time. So it's interesting that a neutral site it's flipped that much. Look, I'm not gonna allow either of you to get an easy win here by picking or agreeing with either of you. The over has hit for USC in 6 straight games. Last time these two teams met, they scored 87 points.
Oof.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 85. 80, sorry, way off. 85. Only 85 points. Forgive me. In fact, the last 6 overs, here are the totals of each game that have hit over. 65.5, 74, 60.5, 66, 77.5, and 63. The over has hit every time for USC. The over in this one is 67. I will take the over 67 in this game. USC's entire defense is built, it's just built on enforcing turnovers. They don't get much in the way of stops. Utah will be able to put up some points. USC is going to be putting points. I think this is a similar shootout. I think this goes over the 67. Unless, I don't see how they don't. I will take the over in this one. Okay. It's the conference, the game where it just matters more. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Georgia versus LSU down there in New Orleans. Georgia is a 17.5 point favorite against the Tigers. Over under, I see mostly 51s, couple 50.5s, if that's something that entices you. Daniel, what would you like, sir?
Man, this is another one. You look at this number and you think, you know, I know LSU's coming off the loss last week straight up as a 10-point favorite to Texas A&M. And what's LSU now? 11, I think, in the rankings. So, you know, even with some heroics beating Georgia, I don't see them making the playoff.
No.
So it's like, okay, three losses. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, right. No, that's what I'm saying, right? So it's like sort of an automatic, even if they win this thing, they're not in the playoff, right? I'm making, we'll say, with 99% assumption here. Off the loss, can't make the playoffs. LSU's had a better season, I think, than a lot of people thought. You know, their win total was around 7, 7.5. And here they find themselves in the championship game against Georgia. Giant number. Public has taken LSU. I think Georgia's going to cover this. Ugh. It's giant. Give me Georgia minus 17.5.
The public's on LSU? Is it the money and the tickets?
Just the tickets right now. Tickets. More money's on Georgia. Tickets are on LSU. Line open 17. We're up to 17.5, 18. I think there was some quarterback news, right? Jaden Daniels, I think, is out, or maybe some injury or something. So line moved a little bit, but I'm going with Georgia here. Georgia's making the playoff, win or lose, but this maybe feels like some sleepy 31-7 or something like that. 34-10. Georgia covers this.
Jaden Daniels is wearing a walking boot to help with a sprained ankle. So he will play.
Yeah, that news broke. That news broke and that line just sort of jumped right away.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's such a big line. But they've covered big lines most of the season. Covered 28 versus Auburn. Covered 37.5 versus Vanderbilt. Okay, let's look at some better teams. Covered 16 versus Mississippi State. I don't like it, but I don't trust LSU at this point. And it's not because they lost to A&M. The Jaden Daniels injury is significant. I really do think it is. And I think LSU's defense will keep it close for a while, but Georgia should be able to pull away in the second half. The question is just like, Georgia doesn't have to do anything but win this game. They don't need style points. They don't need to blow LSU out. They just need to win the game. That's all they have to do. They're the one seed.
I'd argue they don't even have to do that.
Well, for seeding, you want to say the one seed because you get first pick of which game you get to, which site you go to. If you lose this, Michigan beats Purdue, then Michigan's going to be the one seed. How many points do I think LSU can score? It's too big. I don't like lines this big. I don't like touching anything that's this big as far as a line goes. I'm going to take the under. I see 51. Does that work for you, Daniel?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
I think if Jaden Daniels is that banged up, if it's an ankle injury, like I understand it's not a serious ankle injury, but if his ankle's banged up, Georgia's not going to have to do a lot. There's not going to be reason to. I think that they just want to get through this game and stay healthy and go to the playoff. I'm going to take the under 51. I don't think LSU will do a ton offensively. I think Georgia will do enough offensively. I think this will be a, like, Georgia in the 30s, LSU around like 14 or so. So I'll take the under 51. Chris?
Yeah, and Daniel's riding with Georgia on this?
Yes.
Yeah, Bulldogs, baby.
All right, well, that makes it easy. I'm just going to ride with Georgia. No, I'm just kidding. But, no, okay. So, I mean, the injury's a thing. I think we kind of glossed over that a little bit, like glossed over the impact of that. That's a big deal. Even if number two was more than capable, you know, there's a little timing, little differences and stuff like that. The other thing I find interesting is the loss LSU took to A&M last week. LSU knew they were going to be in this game. They knew it, and I think they were looking ahead. And they got caught by A&M. I mean, it is what it is. I kind of expect this to be a little bit closer. Not because of Daniels. Even before that, I thought LSU is going to want to make this a game. They're going to want to make a statement. They're not playing for anything, but they also have nothing to lose. Like, no one expects them to win this game. Georgia is a behemoth. They're rolling. But again, it's not dire that Georgia has to win this game. I just feel like LSU is going to keep this a little bit closer. So I'll do Daniel a favor. I'll go opposite him. I'm going to take LSU to cover the massive line.
All right. Daniel, I see some 18s.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, Circa's got an 18. It's always good enough for me. Oh, plenty of other books.
Right. Yeah. Very good. 18. All right. Moving on to another conference championship game that will not be between two top 10 teams. In fact, there's only one of those this weekend. I wonder which conference that is. I bet we'll get to them here in a bit. Michigan, Big Blue, facing off against Purdue. And let's see, this line is, where'd it go? 16.5 with an over-under of 52. I'm up first. It's another huge line. Yikes. I just like, I hate these big lines. They're not fun. I don't mean to waste time. Like, Daniel, like with games that, I'm sure we talk about this, like games with lines this big, like, do you usually put money on stuff like this, or do you have a...
I love these spots. Really? I mean, this is what you want. Oh, yeah. And you start working it into, you know, what kind of game script does the favorite run in the second half if they have the lead? You know, what's the total? Total's the first thing you look at. You know, are we talking about a game with really high variance that's, you know, 68 total, maybe like our Utah-USC? Or are we talking about maybe a tighter, harder-hitting game, less variance, we'll say, to a degree, with what can happen on the field, you know, like an LSU-Georgia kind of situation. So I love these big lines. Those are the spots I look for when lines pop.
Okay. There's not enough from either team to say, like, this is a trend against the spread here. There's a trend here with over under, like Purdue 7-5 to the over, Michigan's 8-3-1 to the under. So I'm like, what is this total? I think it's in the 50s. What did I see? 51. See if 50. Do you, let's see. Where are those 52s at? Wynn Station and Caesars. I'm gonna just roll with it. Can I take under 52? Are you good with 52 there?
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah, 52 is legit.
I should probably take overs. I'm afraid Georgia and Michigan are going to put up more points than I think, but I'll take the under here. Chris.
Yeah, this is interesting. This kind of reminds me, you know, old Big 12 North, Big 12 South. How often did the North keep it close? Not when Kansas State was good and you know, it was actually a close game, but when the Big 12 North was just trash and it was really between who was coming out of the South, between OU, Texas, and A&M, like how often did the Big 12 North keep it close in those years? I'd love to see that. Because Purdue, they haven't even really played anybody. If you go back, I think their best wins, number 21, Illinois. Other than that, like, I don't know if they have another top 25 win. I think Michigan is just a much, much better team here. I think they take care of business going away. I think Michigan wins this by 3 scores. Another situation where Michigan can afford the loss. They're not really playing for anything because worst case scenario, you have the advantage over Ohio State of winning that heads up. So yeah, but I think Michigan rolls it. Give me Michigan.
Daniel.
Chris, I agree with you, man. I think Michigan covers this. Harbaugh has been a cover machine the last 2 years of Michigan. It's not really something that's talked about too much in betting circles, but Harbaugh has been an over and a cover the spread machine, and he's going to do it again. Yeah, they're going to – I think it's going to be beat down on Purdue. The trying to cap saying like, oh, this team's already in the playoffs, this, that, and the other. I don't know. I still see Michigan blowing them out. I got to catch Chris. Give me Purdue.
Michigan wow. is 18-7-1 against the spread since the start of the 2021 season.
Oh, and if you go back farther, it's even bigger than that. You know. Yeah. If you just keep going, it's like.
Man, Daniel, are you sure you don't want to just ride with him? Okay. I see.
I mean, there's 21 games. You might be trying to do a little too much.
Circus got a 17. So I can give you plus 17.
All right, let's go. Michigan. You boys talked me into it. If I lose by one, we're going to come back to this Michigan game. We're going to have a conversation about peer pressure.
Well, that's fine. But you've already recognized that the only reason you were even taking Purdue is because of gamesmanship.
Yeah, look, I think Michigan covers this. I think Purdue has their hands full. It's really hard to see a lot of paths to success for them.
So, yeah, but like, go with what you think.
We'll see.
Yeah, give me Michigan.
Probably the least relevant Power 5 conference championship game that we played this weekend is the ACC. Who'd have thunk it? Clemson. I'm just going to trash everyone on the way out the door. It's fun. Clemson facing North Carolina. Clemson, a 7.5-point favorite. The total in this one, 63. Chris, you're up, sir. What would you like?
To not go first on this one. Ooh, man, Clemson, what happened? You had it all right there. You thought you were going to try to make a run at the playoff, and then you made fun of TCU, and it all fell apart. TCU ended up winning that game, and now you've dropped two, including one to Spencer Rattler. That's rough. All right. So what does that leave me? North Carolina, you also dropped the last two. I actually like that Clemson's coming off a loss here. I think that maybe a little wake-up call, a little they bounce back well after the Notre Dame loss. They took care of Louisville, took care of Miami. Maybe they're just too relaxed against USC, although Spencer Rattler's just been balling out the last couple weeks. All right. I guess that's a lot to say. I don't like this line at 7.5. I wish it was like 6.5. Can we get 6.5?
You cannot.
Can I buy it down? All right.
No.
Over under 63.5. Let me look at this. Only because I don't like the spot. I don't like it being just over a touchdown. That's not a good thing there. 63.5. Both teams are. All right. I'm just gonna take Clemson to cover. They probably get this by 10, right? Hopefully, Clemson to cover.
Okay. I am looking at one team who plays good offense with Drake May and no defense versus a team who plays good defense and bad offense with suspect quarterback play. Though I'm sure DJ Uiagalelei will bounce back and have a much better performance against North Carolina because that defense is awful and everyone has a nice performance offensively against North Carolina. That said, Daniel, I'm going to ask you this. I see it at South Point. I see it at Wynn, and I see it at Caesars. I see eights. Daniel?
I'm looking. Like,
Daniel, he's like, I don't want to.
I know. He wants both of us to write Clemson so he can take.
No. That's fine. South Point's got it. That's good. Yeah. I mean, it's 7.5. The market is right now 7.5. I just feel a little generous tonight.
Well, you know what? Great. So I will take North Carolina +8. I think Clemson wins this game, but I can absolutely see this being a touchdown game. Last team that scores wins. A little bit of back and forth. Again, Clemson, I think, plays good defensively, but their offense isn't great, but North Carolina's defense is so bad that everyone's offense looks good, but North Carolina can put up points. I think Clemson wins this game, but I think it's at best a one-score game. So I will take UNC +8, especially since I get +8. Daniel?
I'm starting at a 63.5, and I really like the under in the spot. This, actually, twofold here. This is Clemson's Super Bowl for the year.
Thinking about that. How much is Clemson going to care in this game? You just had all chance at the playoff ripped away from you.
Here's going to be the tough part. It's you're sort of capping the coaching staff here. And at a program like Clemson, where they are currently in the national picture, I don't think you can just sort of limp into this game and then lose to North Carolina. It can't happen. The seat is going to be actually warm next year at Clemson, I think, if that happens. This is a little bit of a must win. And I think the whole staff needs to get this team ready to play and to show out. And I think the defense has to perform really well. And they're up against a solid task, you know, against North Carolina. North Carolina can obviously move the ball. They can score. This game is going to go under. They are just – this defense has to come together. The coaches have to bring it together. There's going to be rain, or forecast calls for rain right now. There's going to be some wind. I love that this is getting better. And people are talking over in this game because of North Carolina, and they just saw South Carolina put up 30 plus on Clemson. So it's like, this is an under game. If Clemson shows up and Sweeney's playing, there's a Super Bowl, and he doesn't want the hot seat next year, they got to look good. Under 63.5.
I like it. Future Big 12 member UCF taking part in the AAC championship game. They will be in Nolens against the Tulane Green Wave, who just found out they're probably keeping Willie Fritz, so good for them. Love it. Big 12 wants to add Tulane. I have no problem adding New Orleans as a Big 12 city. UCF is a 3.5-point dog in this one. Our future Big 12 brethren and sisterin, as we have found, is the word. Sisterin, weird word. But I'll roll with it. Over under at 57, though I see some 56.5s as well. Whose turn is this? Daniel, what would you like, sir?
Tulane, -3.5. Let's go. I'm going to have a little real money down. My line is a little bit closer to 6. Tulane has just been such – what an impressive season they had. I don't know that a lot of people saw this coming.
No,
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what their to win the conference. I don't know what the payout was. 40-1, maybe 30-1, something like that. Great season. They had a third string quarterback at one point. You know, the game they played against Houston, it's like they won that game with a third stringer. Just hung tough. So, like I said, my number's closer to six. I like the value. This team has just been awesome all year. I think UCF is going to have a little bit of trouble with Tulane's defensive front. Green wave, baby. Let's cover it. 3.5.
To answer your question, preseason, or at least on August, was it 8th? Tulane was plus 4,500 to win the AAC. That sounds was about the right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th, like worst odds.
Oh.
They were yeah, because it was, let's see, it was Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, SMU, Memphis, East Carolina, Tulsa, Tulane. The only teams with a bigger number were USF, Navy, and Temple. I'm trying to remember where they were picked in the preseason poll. Pulling it up right now. And Tulane was picked 7th in the preseason poll. So, no. Nobody expected this. They had a bad season last year. Nobody was expecting this from them. I will note that these two teams have faced off already in New Orleans, a game that UCF won 38-31. They built a 24-7 lead in the second quarter, and that one were led by as much as 31-14 in the third. Tulane made a bit of a run, but UCF, like they have in some games, has been able to hold on. UCF has very much played up and down to competition this season. You beat Cincinnati at home, then you have a high scoring affair with Memphis, then you go on the road to Tulane and win. It's a nice 3-game week, and then you get to come home and you've got your 2 wins away from hosting the AAC championship game. You lose to Navy and you almost blow a huge lead to South Florida on the road in the war on I-4. Like, this is a team that plays up and down to the competition. So I believe wholeheartedly UCF will be ready to go in this game. It's a team they beat on the road just like 4 weeks ago. But man, it's hard to beat a team twice. It's so hard to beat the same team 2 times in the same season, especially to do it 2 times in the same season on the road. I think Tulane probably wins this time around. However, at 3.5, I'm going to take UCF plus 3.5. And hopes beyond hopes that this comes down to a field goal. Because I do think UCF will show up to this for this game. I do think they will play well in this game. I do think it will be a close game. Now, my concern is this ends up being like a touchdown game, which is 1 score. But I'm going to believe that UCF can do enough to keep this game within a field goal. I think Tulane probably comes out on the right side, but I believe enough in UCF to somehow find a way to do this twice in 1 year against Tulane on the road to take them plus 3.5. So, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you already talked about it. It's super hard to win twice against the same team in the season. And back when the Big 12 started going to the 1-2 conference championship in the rematch, I went back and I pulled all the data looking at, you know, rematches in a season where teams were pretty competitively matched. And I was looking at either bowl games or conference titles, whatever. And there's a pretty good data set. And it was like, I don't know, a fair amount of games. And the team that lost the first game won the second game like 70%+ of the time. It wasn't close. Even when the first game was a blowout, the second game might have been a blowout the other way. It was kind of incredible. So that was always my concern with the Big 12 going to the 1v2 model is, you know, there's a chance where the number 2 team's winning a lot of the time, which would not be good for the conference and making the playoff. So, but anyway, all that's to say, I like Tulane to win this game. I didn't think they'd win against Cincinnati. They did. And I'm not going to make that mistake again. I think it's just incredibly tough to win against the same team twice. Tulane has the advantage here. They can make an adjustment. And what does USC or UCF do? Do they Do they make an adjustment? Do they try to anticipate Tulane's adjustment to what got them to win? Like, or do they just roll with what they did in game one? It's tough. Tulane has a little bit of an advantage there. And I like the green wave. I'm going to take them to cover.
Very good. Tulane minus 3.5. All right. It is time for the game you all came here for, the Big 12 championship game, 11 a.m. on Saturday. College Football Game Day is going to be there. It's the only matchup between two teams ranked in the top 10 in the most recent college football playoff rankings. It's TCU versus Kansas State. It's the battle for the purple. Loser must only wear black and white for next year. JK, though, that would be a hilarious thing to put on the line in this game. There can only be one purple team in the Big 12, and it comes down to this. Oh, it's a big one. Very excited for this game. Very excited. TCU, 2.5-point favorite. Over, under, about 62. I see 62.5 as well. I am up first. Again, we got another rematch. TCU, Kansas State. TCU was victorious the last time these two teams faced off. But Kansas State built a nice lead. Saw TCU come back like they have many times this season. Kansas State saw two quarterbacks go down in this game. A couple of defensive players get hurt. I think we had one who was kicked out for targeting. Now we should have Will Howard. We know he's going to start. Potentially Adrian Martinez, healthy enough to contribute in some way. Do we see him out there just as a run option? Does Kansas State get crazy? God, could you give me like one wild play where you just see Adrian Martinez and Will Howard on the field at the same time and everyone just goes, what's going to happen? This is going to be a fun one. I do think this is going to be crazy good. I do think this line is this close for a reason. I do think it's very exciting. I cannot wait to see this rematch. I don't always buy into like Team of Destiny stuff. But I do feel that way a bit about TCU. They know what they have to do. And we can say here, and we can hear the national narrative of TCU's in the playoff, whether they win or lose all day. If you're a TCU player, if you're a TCU coach, you cannot hear that. You cannot listen to that. You have to go into this game knowing the history of TCU in 2014 and being the 3 seed and falling all the way out of the playoff after Ohio State blows out Wisconsin, you cannot believe you are in. You have to look at that committee and go, no, we aren't going to trust them. We're not going to trust the national media. We're not going to trust anybody. We have the control of our playoff spot in our hands. I will take TCU minus 2.5. I think TCU wins this game. I do think it's a close game. But I will take TCU. I think they win. They should cover. I think a 3-point game is reasonable. I'll ride with the Horned Frogs. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you just said. I just got done talking about how the team that wins game one doesn't really win game two, but like 30% of the time. But it does happen. TCU has been very focused. To go 12-0 through that schedule, unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Kansas State, a good team, but I think TCU knows that they got lucky to win that first game. They got a little bit lucky to escape that and be able to come back and win. I think the coaching staff is going to just really harp on that, really focus on that. It's like, hey, you know, I mean, we can't afford to do that again. You're going to have to play this game and get the win. Every opportunity that TCU's had to kind of stumble with that playoff spot looming, they haven't. They've just handled their business. And yeah, I mean, the Baylor game was incredible, but they got the win. They do what it takes to get the win. At 2.5, you know, that's if you think TCU, I think TCU wins this game. If I think they win, then I have to take them to cover the 2.5 because it's just too narrow a margin. I think they win, but not by 2.5. That's a very silly margin to play with. So I'm gonna take TCU by the field goal. Even if this is an overtime game, then yeah, I'll take TCU by the field goal.
Daniel,
we set you up. Do you guys really want me to do this?
We set you up.
Yeah,
it's the only, I mean, it's the only opportunity today.
Yeah, but I want to hedge against my, I want to hedge against my futures bet. Like I want to get any little scrap of equity I can if Kansas State doesn't win this thing. Worst case would be TCU winning by 1 or 2. Because then if I took TCU, they don't cover here, and K-State doesn't win. Look, I mean,
we're giving it to you. Your futures, and you're going to win this. Like,
you guys don't want me to pick TCU because you know what? I mean, the fate is sealed. If I go pick TCU, they get blown out. Some excuse for why Ohio State needs to slide in. So you know what? I am going to help make sure that this reality stays on the correct course for the next few days. Okay. Didn't look at it. Let's just roll with the over. Okay. Look, I'm just saving the Big 12 universe right now. So you guys can thank me later. All right. I'm just going to stay away from that TCU side. I see a 62. There's some, 61.5, 62, circa 62.5. Let's just give me a flat 62. All is right in this timeline. And we'll just leave it at that. Over 62.
I like it. Okay. So with that, there are four other G5 conference championship games going on. Akron, Buffalo, we played on Friday. And on December 10th, the only game on that Saturday, Army-Navy game is also available. So I believe, Chris, you're up first. You can pick whatever you want from the board that's available to you, sir. What would you like for your final pick?
This hurts me a little bit. There's not a lot out there. Once you get rid of all the games we've already discussed, there's not a lot left. So I'm left kind of stalling for time so I can...
Would you like someone
look
else
up
to pick?
What I need to look up.
While you...
I can jump in. No, I can. You know what? I'm gonna do you guys.
I have my pick. I'm just trying to find. I have my pick. I know what I'm talking about. I was just trying to pull up the game so I can.
I know what I'm talking about.
All right. So what's the line? Okay, the line is 8.5. I think. Okay, this hurts me because this team has done so well for me in the past. I was on the train. Haven't really talked about them a lot this season. But I'm going to have to go against Coastal Carolina this week. I'm going to have to ride with Troy. Troy's been covering 9-3 against the spread. Coastal Carolina, it just hasn't been the same Coastal Carolina as the last couple seasons. So, yeah, I'm going to say Troy to get it done. 8.5. They probably win this by 10 or so. Yeah, give it to me. Oh my gosh, Coastal was blown out by JMU. What the?
Hey. Earmuffs, children. Earmuffs. Okay. There is a team that is favored that I don't think should be. In the MAC championship game, Toledo is a 1.5 or 2 point favorite over Ohio. Toledo, very nice season for Toledo. They are 7-5. They're the favorite, though. They are, 2-3 in their last five. They have not covered in those last five. Meanwhile, Ohio has won 7 games in a row and covered in the last 8. I don't think the right team is favored here. So I'm going to take Ohio, who also, by the way, is 9-3 with the better record, to beat Toledo in the MAC championship game and get that win. So I see you. Now I see 1.5. I see Wind Station and Caesars with a 2. Is that accurate, Daniel, or is 1.5 what I got to roll with?
You can go. No, there's enough 1.5s.
No, it doesn't.
There's 2. 1.5 or 2.
Okay. Well, I'm taking the dog, so I'll take 2. I think Ohio State wins it straight up, or Ohio wins it straight up, but I'll go ahead and just hedge my bets and take Ohio +2 versus Toledo. Daniel, what would you like?
I circled this game right away. Fresno State, Boise State. There was like a bunch of 4.5s that were floating around. I was able to get a 3.5 by the time it opened for me. I'm taking Fresno State. I've got this line at Fresno -1. Fresno State bet immediately at the open. And I've got a great historical spot here. So Fresno State is now a conference dog, and they're off a big conference win where they double-digit win, and they blew out the spread margin. So far this year, teams in that spot are 10-2. I got almost a 400 game sample that's hitting at 59%. So I got a historical spot. I've got my line. I've got other bettors taking Fresno State right away. Fresno State's off the loss just back in early October to Boise State. So Chris, jumping into your angle there, it's hard to beat a team twice. So Fresno State took the loss last time. A straight-up win would not surprise me at all. Long-winded version to say it all lines up. The stars align. Fresno State plus 3 Saturday afternoon. Give it to me.
Done. Very good. All right, boys. That was good. That was fun. I enjoyed that. We will not be making picks next week. We will wait another week. First bowl of the season is December 16th, so we'll have bowl picks out for every current and future Big 12 member who will be in a bowl game. We'll pick every single one. That'll be the last picks episode of the season.
Giant.
That is 12 plus a non. So that's actually 13 because that's 8 Big 12, all 4 future members plus one of your choosing. That is 13 games we will pick. That is by far the most we will pick in a single episode. But hey, you know, that one will run all the way through bowl season. So it can be one of our last episodes of the year because we're going to take an early Christmas break because Philip needs a little bit of mental rest. So no picks next week, guys. And then we come back and you'll have 13 games to pick. We'll see if Chris has a big enough lead that won't matter if it's really going to be close down to the final one. You guys have been awesome. Everybody do us a favor. Follow us on Twitter at 1012 Network. Follow Daniel at DannerB7 on Twitter. The Slack chat is still open if you want to go talk about some betting. Chris is at Chris Ross Sports. He's on Twitter sometimes. You want to talk to him about disc golf, you can do so. It's pretty cool. We, of course, 1012 Network. We will be back on Monday to recap the Big 12 and AAC title game. And hopefully we'll be talking about some for sure bowl destinations for the Big 12. And we can finally start diving in to Big 12 men's and women's basketball more thoroughly now that football season is just about done. We will talk to you all again then.